Recording in progress.
We good, Laura?
Give me 1 minute, Mr. Chairman. The TV guys have to start first.
So not a problem.
1 minute, please. Okay, Chairman, we could start.
Got it. Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board.
Sorry, I'm in a zoning board meeting. Let me clarify.
Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Kenny?
Who's speaking?
Yeah, I'm in a zoning board meeting. Let me call you back.
You're unmuted, whoever that was.
Yep. Chairman, can you give me one moment, please? I apologize. Please.
No problem.
Sorry, Chairman, technical difficulties.
Okay, take your time.
Mr. Weissman?
Here.
Mr. Tillery?
Here.
Mr. Patel?
Here.
Mr. Reggio?
Here.
Mr. Blount? Mr. Hidaka?
Here.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Here.
Mr. Ellie? Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for a salute to the flag? Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Barlow, have there been any changes to tonight's agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and if I get anything wrong, I'm going to rely on Ms. Buckley. Number 5, Amir Motawala, which is 2603 Wade Street, has been postponed to September 14th. They must notice. Number 9, Derek Bradshaw and Ada Gonzalez, which is 1500 Quincy Street, is postponed until September 14th, 2023. There will be no further notice. So if you're here for that meeting, that's been rescheduled to September 14th. Number 11, G&A Property Development LLC, which is 447 Washington Avenue, has been postponed to August 10th, 2023. They still must notice. And number 13, Carolyn Gorm, which is 1648 Short Street, has been postponed until August 10th, 2023. They still need to notice in the newspaper. Those are the four changes to the agenda that I'm aware of, Chairman.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's move on to item number 6, 23-ZB-53V, Chad Herbert.
Mr. Herbert present. Thought I saw him.
Yep, I'm here.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Hello.
Sir, first I'm going to, and this goes for any of the applicants, I'm going to swear you in, okay?
Yes, sir.
If you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address, sir.
Chad Herbert. Last name Herbert, H-E-R-B-E-R-T, 250 Grandview Avenue, Piscataway.
Could you raise your right hand, sir? You swear the testimony you'll give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is it that you, what relief are you seeking from the Piscataway Zoning Board, sir?
I'm looking for a relief replacing a fence. So it's an existing 6-foot fence that was there surrounding the pool. There was a variance for the pool itself, but when I purchased the property, when I was doing the replacing the fence, noticed that there wasn't a variance for the fence. Surrounding the pool. So looking for the variance for the pool because of the setback requirements, as well as the height, which is going to be required for the, you know, any pool area needs to be 6 feet.
Mr. Interesting, do you have any comments about this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Again, back in 1980, when the variance was granted for the pool, the condition was that it was also be screened and fenced. The fence was shown on the application at the time. I believe it's even shown on the plan that might be in your package, as far as the with the 1980 approval. And that time the fence was shown outside of the easement. So I believe there's a easement that runs along the Anita side of the property. That's an 8-foot easement. Again, this is a corner property, as you're aware. We typically never allow people to put the fences right up on the property lines. So my recommendation is that the fence should be relocated outside the easement, which is only 8 feet. I think that's a pretty fair request. And that is also consistent with the 1980 approval. I don't see any issue with the fence going from the previously, I think, approved 5-foot fence to a 6-foot fence. But I do feel that the fence should be relocated outside of the easement, which is 8 feet back from the property line. That's basically the thought. Again, it was put up without a permit. If a permit was submitted, it would have been noted that it needed a variance at that time. So the location, the fact that it's in there now really has no bearing because it was done without a permit. It should be outside the easement. They also show a shed to be removed, and the shed should be removed as noted on the plan if approved.
Mr. Herbert, are you okay with the...
So I guess the one thing I did talk with JCP&L, and they did provide a statement saying that they don't have an issue with the fence being on their easement. So I'm wondering if that's something that could be considered.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with that because the fact is that again, it's a corner property and we very rarely ever give variances, if ever. For a fence of a 6-foot height and being 100% solid to be allowed right up against the township sidewalks right on the property line. For a couple of reasons, one, to keep the side quarter of the street open so it doesn't impact the adjacent homes. And due to the fact that this was already agreed to back in 1980, I don't see the issue with the height of the fence increasing to 6 feet, but I do believe that the fence should be put at the easement line as previously approved in 1980, should be slightly buffered with landscaping as well, as per the 1980 approval. That could be any kind of landscaping along the front of the fence.
That's fine, Henry. Okay. Mr. Herbert, this is the recommendation of our township engineer. If you are in agreement with it, we can move forward with this with a vote now after I open it to the public.
Okay, yeah, I agree.
Okay. Any other members of the board have any questions for this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any questions or comments for this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. I'd make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Areggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
The application's been approved. We will memorialize your resolution at the next meeting, and I will email it out to you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Herbert. Have a great night, sir.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's move on to item number 723-ZB-66V. Kenny Lai. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Baller?
Yeah. I had myself muted there for a second. Mr. That's Lai, okay. If you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address, sir.
Yes. My name is Kenny. Last name is Lai, L-A-I, living at 50 Palisade Avenue, Piscataway.
Okay, could you raise your right hand? You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what relief you're seeking from the board?
I want to replace my current wooden fence to a vinyl fence and extend it from 70 feet off the property line of Manor Boulevard.
Mr. Lai, were you provided with the site impact from the township?
I believe so.
From Mr. Hinterstein? Henry, could you go over it briefly?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this actual application, I don't see any issues with. Okay. The request for the 17 feet from the property line seems appropriate, which is about half of the required front yard setback. So he's sort of compromised there. It is a corner property. So he does have limited space with the two front yards. And he is proposing 17 feet, which again is approximately half of the front yard setback on this corner property on the Manor Boulevard. So I think the application as proposed is acceptable.
Thank you, Henry. Appreciate that. Any other members of the board have any questions or comments for this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Hearing none, I'm going to close the public portion and make a motion to approve this application.
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hayducka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Okay, we'll do your resolution next meeting and I will mail it out to you, Kenny.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Have a good night, sir. All right, let's move on to item number 8, 23-ZB-61V, Paul Oglesby.
You hear Mr. Oglesby?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are, sir. If you could state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your address.
Yes, Paul Oglesby, last name Oglesby, O-G-L-E-S-B-Y, 3 Ivy Street.
Could you raise your right hand, sir? You swear the testimony you'll give before this board will be the whole truth, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What relief are you here to seeking from the zoning board?
So I was seeking a relief from the 50-foot setback in my front yard. I put a 6-foot fence there. I saw the site impact report yesterday, and the way that it's written is that's not what I did. It is there's statements in there saying that I proceeded to install a fence anyway. And, now I'm requesting a variance. I definitely made a mistake once Lou Sictor said that the permit was denied. At that point, the contractor said, we can't do the fence unless it's approved. So I called Lou and left a message. He didn't respond. The contractor sent an email. Lou was asking for more details about the fence. Sent an email. He didn't respond. The contractor went down and said, went down to the township, spoke to someone and said, it's been approved. At that point, I was under the understanding, and it was an incorrect understanding. I was understanding that it was approved, right? I didn't think again about that 50-foot setback until the fence was installed, and Lou and his boss called me and said, hey, we can't approve this. There was a 50-foot setback. Did you know about it? And I said, at that point, right, yeah. I did know, right, because I had discussed it with Dawn. So I didn't go about this intentionally installing the fence after Dawn said there was a 50-foot setback, right, and now requesting the variance. It was the mistake on my part once the contractor said it was approved. I thought everything had been approved.
Well, it seems like your beef is with your contractor and not with the with the township. Unfortunately, we seek to give our residents relief for situations that have arisen not by their own hand. And unfortunately, this is a problem that you've got because your contractor evidently lied to you or just didn't research it. Henry, you could like take it from here if you would.
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is the fence is there. Again, it's not allowed to be there. So you have a couple options. You could remove it. You could put a 4-foot fence up. That's 50% solid, which the ordinance allows. So if you wanted to put a 4-foot, 50% solid, you're entitled to do that along the entire property line in the front yard, up to the property line. My recommendation is not to remove the entire fence, but at a minimum, you're going to have to move 4 sections of fence out of the front yard right away. So the last 4 sections closest to the road would have to be removed. I would imagine that's approximately either 24 to 32 feet, depending on the size of your fence sections, whether they're 6 feet or 8-foot sections. But 4 sections is what my recommendation would be. You know, there might still be a few sections in a front yard setback, but I think that at that point it's not going to cause an issue. But again, you know, my understanding was that Dawn had spoke to you regarding that when the permit was put in. Was there a permit for a pool as well? Yeah. And yes. I think she specifically said when the pool permit or the discussion about the pool permit took place was that the fence could not be in the front yard setback at the time when the pool permit was issued. Regardless, again, it happened. What, you know, whose fault it is, you know, unfortunately, the case law, you know, hardship's a hardship. If it's a self-created hardship, the case law is pretty clear. You can't grant an approval for a hardship when it's self-created. So as the chairman said, you may have a beef with your contractor, but my recommendation would be is that 4 sections of the fence be removed. Again, and in those 4 sections, if you wanted to change that to a 4-foot, 50% solid picket fence, you'd be entitled to do that. You would just need a separate permit to do that. But yeah, as far as the solid 6-foot high fence, the recommendation is that at least 4 sections should be removed.
Mr. Okay. Ogle, yeah, no, yeah, please. Yeah,
sorry, I just have one question because the existing fence was to that line and there's a section of the existing fence on the neighbor's property. So right, there's no front yards. The neighbor's backyard is to my, to that side where the fence is. So there's a 6-foot fence there currently. So if I remove my fence, that 6-foot fence can still remain in that location?
I'm only concerned about your fence. I don't know what's on your neighbor's property. I'm here for your application. I looked at the fence on your property because that was the application that was in front of us. So all I can comment on is, you know, was what you did in your proposal, your application. You know, I don't think we're going to make that person unless somebody puts in a complaint or says that, you know, they did something illegally. You know, we don't go searching for things. We're not the code enforcement department. We act on the applications that are in front of us. So all we can tell you is what you did, you know, is unacceptable. That, you know, in order to get your application approved, you need to remove 4 sections of the fence. You know, again, I don't, as part of your application, we can't make your neighbor do something. So again, if somebody puts in a complaint or something with the code enforcement office or the code enforcement office,
we can have someone go out there,
you know,
take a look.
Yeah, we're not looking at your neighbor's fence. We're only looking at the fence that you put up as part of this application. So,
right. And, my line of questioning there isn't, you know, that I'm just saying that's up to the property line, right? If I remove the fence, there's still going to be a fence. Still going to be a fence there.
I guess it seems like that.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yes, sir. We don't know that. We can, or you can ask code enforcement to go out and take a look at your neighbor's yard to see if indeed his fence is up to code as well. I mean, for you to replace a piece of fencing only to have your neighbor have a higher fence on the other side, that's something that code enforcement needs to address. But right in front of us now is your application, and the way that it's being recommended to us is that you remove or you take those 4 sections of the illegal fence reduce them down to 4 feet. And this way you don't have to take all the whole fencing down. It's a good compromise.
Okay, and I'm sorry to make it long. I just, like I said, the way that the site impact report was written, I just wanted to be known, right? I didn't intentionally go against Dawn and say, I'm gonna put this fence up regardless of what Dawn said. I got confused when, you know, Lou called and said that there was an issue and it couldn't be denied and he needed more information. Once the contractor said it was approved, I assumed everything was good and it was approved.
Mr. Oglesby, we don't hold any malice towards you at all whatsoever. I hear hundreds of these fence cases a year, and a lot of times the contractors act on their own and they wait for you to chase them. Unfortunately, that sounds like there was a miscommunication between you and your contractor. He might have had another job that he had to do and wanted to get the stakes in the ground for you as quickly as possible. And here, unfortunately, you find out a couple of years later that he put the fence in illegally. Again, that's probably a beef you have with him. But if you are agreeable to what Mr. Hinterstein suggested, we can move forward. And I'm willing to, move forward with this application right now.
Yes, reluctantly, I agree.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough, and I appreciate that. Any other members of the board have any questions for this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, I'm going to close the public portion and make a motion to approve this application with the suggestions from Mr. Hinterstein. Can I get a roll call?
Give me a second.
Second, thank you. Sorry. Can you call the roll?
Who else to second?
You can pick.
Thank you.
Mr. Patel.
Mr. Weissman?
I thought it was Mr. Patel, but...
No.
No, but now I'm calling the roll, Steve.
Oh, I'm
going to be quiet.
Yeah, yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
What he missed there? Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Okay, it's been approved. We'll adopt it at the next meeting, and I will send you out an email and a hard copy. And then at that time, you could get your permit and get the fence moved.
Okay, thank you.
Good night, Mr. Oglesby.
Great, thanks.
Let's move on to item number 10, 23-ZB-68V. Rick Ursua?
Right here.
Oh, wait, how did I say it wrong?
Evening, no? Sir.
Ursua, yeah.
That's Ursua, fine. Okay.
All right. Sir, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address, sir.
My name is Rick Ursua. My last name is spelled as U-R-S-U-A. My address is 14 Gemma Court, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Raise your right hand, sir. You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What relief are you seeking from the board, sir?
I would like to put a fence in the backyard beginning from the end of the both ends of the building and along the property line in the backyard. 6-foot fence, white vinyl.
Okay. Did you happen to come across the copy of the site impact from July 13th of this year?
Yes.
The easement?
Yes.
Are you in agreement with the easement?
Yes.
Okay. Henry, any other points you need to make, or that's it?
No, that's it. He just has to be aware that if for some reason the township needs access to the easement, he's going to be responsible for any costs associated with the removal and replacement of the fence.
I agree.
Okay, fantastic. Any other members of the board have any questions for this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion, and I'd make a motion to approve this application. I need a second.
I'll have a second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Okay, so we will adopt it at the next meeting, and I will send you a copy.
Thank you.
Have a good night, sir. On to item number 12-23-ZB-63V, Mark Dufour.
Dufour present?
He didn't show up.
I don't see him. Is any?
I don't see him either. Mr. Dufour, if you came on as an attendee, please raise your hand with the button and I can make you a participant.
All right, why don't we skip this and come back, Mr. Dufour. Let's move on to item number 14, 23-ZB-02/03V, T.R. Weiniger and 1900 New Brunswick, LLC.
Yeah, I just had to unmute myself. Thank you. Paul Smonicki on behalf of 1900. New Brunswick LLC. Actually, I'm having feedback because we have two computers here.
Some feedback.
Yeah, you have to shut one off, okay. Or lower one down.
Yeah, we just shut her computer off because they're in the same room with me, the applicants. Okay, getting back to this, we're here on behalf of T.R. Weiniger, Inc. and 1900 New Brunswick LLC. For a use in bulk variance, preliminary and final site plan, or in the alternative, a certificate of nonconformity. Do you want me to go through the variances required, or are you satisfied that that's listed?
Chairman, I'm not sure what the board's pleasure is.
I'd probably want to hear the individual variances just to get it on the record.
Okay.
Appreciate that. Sorry about the time constrictions, but better safe than sorry.
It's all right. No problem. Okay. So the variances that are requested are variance in relief from ordinance 21-501 required is a use permitted in a zone within a residential zone and proposed is use not permitted in zone. It's basically a landscaping and construction excavating business. Also proposed is use not permitted in zone is six containers and a tank for long-term use. Next ordinance that we're requesting relief from is 21-619.1. Required is a minimum wall height of 6 feet and proposed is a wall of 8 feet in height. That's approximate. Next is ordinance 21-3B, accessory structure. Required in residential zones are an accessory building shall not exceed 25 feet by 25 feet or 625 square feet. Proposed, there's an accessory building that's 144 feet by 24 feet or 3,456 square feet. Next is relief from ordinance 21-1101.3. Required automobile parking space, all passageways and driveways shall be paved with a hard surface. Proposed is a gravel driveways and parking areas. The next is ordinance 21-1201. Required is a sign of 2 square feet in area. Proposed is a sign of 9 square feet in area. Next is ordinance 21-1207.5-1. Required is a sign under 10 square feet must be set back a minimum of 10 feet from a property line and proposed is a sign located 2.5 feet from the front yard property line. And that's what we're requesting. Let me just make a couple of observations here before we get started. That this property is sandwiched in between the Bound Brook and the Conrail Railroad on 1900 New Brunswick Avenue in Piscataway. And the property was used since the mid 1800s as a single family residence. A long time ago, we think maybe back around the 1940s or so, the property became was used for a garbage business by the Colbath family. That family sold the property to our clients in 2010, 11. And at the time of the sale of the property, it was represented to our clients that the property was a pre-existing non-conforming use. We have applied for a certificate of continuing occupancy in the alternative. We're not waiving our right to do that, and we've been granted the right to a hearing later in the year if this application is not approved with respect to a certificate of continuing occupancy. However, our clients want to be good neighbors, and they want satisfy the town of Piscataway with what they think the property or what the town would like to see with respect to the property for the current use. So we've applied for the site plan review and the variances that go along with it. We have a few witnesses I'd like to swear in. Or do you want the witnesses sworn in, or should we just proceed?
We'll do them individually, counsel. So okay. Who's your first witness?
Okay, the first witness is Lori Weniger. And
you can't have both mics on because there's going to be too much feedback.
I'll wait until you.
Try speaking just his. We'll see if we can hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, shut yourself.
I muted mine.
Okay. If you want to come around my side too, you can do that.
If you stay where you are, we can hear you from the microphone, if that's okay.
Can you hear me right now?
I hear you perfectly. Perfect.
Okay, okay, great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, you're calling Lori Weniger?
Yes.
Ma'am, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your address, please.
It's Lori Weniger, W-E-N-I-G-E-R, and my home address is 413 Warrenville Road in Greenbrook.
Okay, counselor, I'm going to stop right there. I see Mr. Keneally's on. Jim, we just started the T.R. Weniger application. Counsel just called his first witness, who put her name on the record but hasn't been sworn in. You want me to bow out and you can take over?
Mr. Barlow, thank you for covering for me, and I am here.
Okay. Mr. Cahill, Chairman, thank you.
Members thank of you, board. Mr. Barlow. Pleasure. Always a pleasure.
And, good night, Tom.
Good night, Tom. Good night, everyone.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry for being late.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, and do I understand we have a witness that needs to be sworn?
Yes, her name is Lori Weniger. She's the president of an applicant, T.R. Weniger, Inc., and she's a member of 1900 New Brunswick, LLC.
Ms. Weniger, could you raise your right hand? Where the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Mrs. Weniger, can you tell us how long you've been at the property? I think you said that you bought the property in 2011 initially, or I indicated to the board that was the case. However, how long have you been there?
We've been there since 2011.
All right. Can you hear her? Or does she need to speak up?
Okay.
Yes.
We purchased the property in 2011. I don't think we actually moved into it till probably after the first of the year, so it would have been 2012.
Okay. And what can you describe your operation at the property? What do you do on the property?
We're a landscaping and construction company. We pretty much all of our projects are outside of that site. So we park the equipment there. The employees will meet there in the morning. We'll get in a truck, sometimes with machines on the back, and they go out and they go to a job site and then come back at the end of the day. We don't do any manufacturing there or sales or anything.
So, is it fair to say that you basically use the property as a yard for your construction business?
Yeah,
Okay. And okay, what I also like to ask you is that there was a memorandum that was issued by the Piscataway Township Zoning Board of Adjustment, Divisions of Engineering and Planning Development. And I'm sure that the town is going to want to go through this memorandum a little bit later, but there are a couple of questions I would like to ask Mrs. Weniger about this memorandum. It said on site impact, it said that the applicant shall provide the necessary right-of-way dedication to bring the road into its master planned half of 52 feet. So in other words, the road in front of your house, in front of the property, is supposed to be 104 feet wide, and half of the road to the center line of the road to your property is supposed to be 52 feet wide. To the extent that it may be, the road may be less than 52 feet and that you have to dedicate some property to the county of Somerset because it's on a because it's on a county road. Middlesex. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Okay. The next question is with respect to the memorandum asked for information should be provided regarding the business use of the site, along with materials stored within and outside of the proposed storage trailers, bulk storage. You've already told us what the business use of the site is. What kind of materials are stored on the property?
We do a variety of different projects where in our containers, and one of them we have water pumps or hoses. Another one we have miscellaneous electrical things we might need for a job, or plumbing fittings or concrete materials. It's anything that we would have either left over from a job or that we are preparing to go to a job that we are storing, especially nowadays with the supply chain problems. We tend to get the materials and keep them there until they go out to a job site.
Okay, are there any hazardous materials being stored at the property to your knowledge?
I guess you'd have to define hazardous. We were discussing before, I have gas cans for like our small tools. I'm not sure if you consider that hazardous.
Well, how big are your gas cans?
Typical homeowner, about 5 gallons.
Okay. And what about oil or any other kind of hydrocarbons?
Hydrocarbons, I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, do you have oil on the property?
Oil? We have oil in the tanks. We have home heating oil.
Okay, so there's a home heat, the house is,
and in the building structure, the house.
All right. So it's just heating oil in a tank.
Yes.
Are they above ground or underground?
They are above ground. Okay. One's in the basement and the others are in the garage.
Okay, and what are your hours of operation of the property?
Generally, the guys will get there around 6, get in a truck and go off to a job site. And usually everybody's in by 4. The office, I usually don't get there until 9. And same thing, about 4, everybody's out of there.
Okay, and do you have any bulk storage bins out there?
We do. The same reasoning, like if we have some stone left over from a job site, we will bring it back. We try to keep them separated because there's different grades of stone, or if it's sand or whatever, and then we take it out to another job site. I don't have anybody coming in. I'm not selling items out of the bins. It's just for our use.
And project. Were any of the improvements on the property built by you, or were the improvements that are on the property, or are they all pre-existing improvements?
When you say improvements, you mean the garage?
Well, let's go. All right. So we know that the house has been there since the 1850s. Is that correct? Or 1847. Okay. There's a garage on the property. And how long is that? Was that there when you bought the property?
Yes, it was.
And there was a storage shed, I believe. Was that there?
That was there as well.
Okay. And what about fencing?
Yes, there was fencing there.
Have you moved any of that fencing or rearranged it?
I don't even know. I think we put a gate on going through the driveway so that nobody would go back there.
Okay. And what do you know about the prior use of property?
It used to be a garbage company. He actually used to be my garbage man years ago. It was Coal Bath Disposal.
Okay. And who are some of the clients that you serve? I mean, you don't have to give any kind of names, but what kind of clientele do you normally serve?
Mainly, we do work for municipalities. We also do work for the state, and we do federal work as well.
Have you ever done work for Piscataway?
Yes, we have.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's see. There's one other question. Oh, the plan shows a temporary tank, and this was an issue raised by Mr. Chadwick. And he said that the application narrative does not refer to the tank, nor is there any explanation as to its purpose. Can you tell us why there's a tank on the property?
The tank, I would consider an extra piece of equipment. We take that to job sites where I need to have a temporary tank set up. We have done work for hospitals, and they require a large amount. When we're taking them out of service, they have to have a temporary tank. It's on a trailer right now, getting ready to go out to another project.
Okay, and do you store anything in that tank
when it comes
the property?
It comes back empty.
Okay.
It comes out empty. I can't transport anything with fuel in it.
Okay, so in other words, if you go to a site and you have to empty out, let's say, a fuel tank, you empty the fuel tank into the portable tank that you have, then you take that to a hazardous waste disposal site. Is that correct?
Yes, everything has to get cleaned up before we can remove that tank from my job site back to our yard. It's just like a piece of equipment, just like our excavators or whatever. It's just gets moved from place to place.
Okay. I don't have any questions. Any more questions for Mrs. Weniger at this time? If the board has any questions for
her? Does anyone? Well, I have a question. With the exception of the gas cans, do you have any poisonous chemicals to kill weeds or lye for lawns, anything like that?
No, I don't.
Just liquid to propel the equipment.
Correct.
Oil or gasoline. Okay. Anyone else on the board have any questions?
I have a few questions, Mr. Chairman.
Sure, Mr. Henderson. Please proceed.
How many employees do you have?
Total is 14.
And that is both office workers and construction?
Correct. There's two of us in the office, myself and my son, one of my sons. And then we have 12 employees that work out in the field.
And do those employees come in and switch vehicles every morning, or do some of them have company vehicles that they take with them home in the evening so they don't park their cars at the site?
Both. We have, none of the employees park their cars at the site. They come in their own and then they go out in their own, but I have actually made a note. What was it? 5 of my trucks go home with people each night.
And then the other employees swap cars at the facility?
They'll park their car during the time when they're working, and then they take their own vehicle home.
As far as that portable tank that you talked about that you use to transfer, I guess, I don't know if it's fuel or fuel oil or whatever kind of materials, is that registered with the DEP?
No, it's a temporary tank. When we go to a job site, it becomes our temporary tank on the job site.
It doesn't have to be registered? You're not transporting that tank full at any given point?
No, you're not allowed to transport that amount.
Thank you.
So it's always empty on site, your site?
Correct.
And your hours of operation? You said 6 a.m. to?
To 4. Usually they're in by 4.
4 or 5. Okay. Well,
all right. Unless you had an emergency situation and then.
No problem.
$100,000 to buy things at market. You need to know something's happening at 4. Maybe his wife was friends. And maybe he got scared and set him up to get away. Or he was setting up to get away because he was...
Mr. Swanick, I had a question for you, I believe. You had said you applied for a certification of a non-conforming use, correct?
Well, it was part of our application, but we asked that not be heard pending this hearing, because if we get the variance, we're not going to pursue that.
Okay, so that's I missed that part of it because I didn't hear any testimony really regarding the certification. So it sounded like you were going right into your use variance and site plan application. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, our thinking was that to put on a case on a certification for non-conforming use would have taken quite a bit of time. And if we're going to get a variance to be able to do to be able to run the business at the property, then
understood.
Why bother? Why waste the board's time?
Got appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Any other members have any questions for this witness? Hearing none, you can proceed, Mr. Swain.
Okay, thank you. The next witness I'd like to call would be Greg Ullman from Mello Engineering.
Mr. Ullman, present?
I am.
Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Could I have your full name, spell your last name, please?
Sure, Gregory Ullman, O-M-A-N.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ullman. Mr. Ullman, can you tell us what your qualifications are?
Certainly. I'm president and owner of Menlo Engineering Associates. I've been a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey now for about 22, 23 years, employed by Menlo Engineering for over 25 years. And I have provided testimony in front of this board several times. I think it's been about a year since the last time I was here, but it was a little while, but I have been in front of this board.
His qualifications are more than adequate. Please proceed.
Thank you. And then, Mr. Ullman, you have a plan that was submitted with our application for 1900 New Brunswick Avenue, block 701, lot 25.01. And it's dated March 2021, revised through March 3, 2023. I don't see a job number on here, but here it is, project number. It's 2020.029. Are you familiar with that plan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and also you prepared a plan that shows the existing, it's the floor plan of the existing residence on the property that the board asked for.
Correct.
As part of that project, and submitted that with the plans as well. Are you familiar with that plan?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And then we also submitted a series of photographs with the application. Are you familiar with those photographs?
Yes, the photographs were taken by my office of various structures, containers on site, showing the dimensions of each as well.
Okay, and I think you also showed the dimensions of the garage and the shed, correct?
Correct.
Okay, just a question for the board. Is the board satisfied with the documents? Is there a way to, we're on Zoom, so I'm not sure how we mark these as exhibits.
Did you submit these along with your application?
Yes.
And they're part of the application package and don't need to be marked separately.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you. Mr. Ullman, can you tell us what your plan entails? I'm basically going to let you take this and run with it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. If I can, I'd like to share my screen.
Please do.
Can everyone see my plan, existing conditions and demolition plan?
Yes.
Perfect. I had marked these two sheets as A1 and A2, but they are the submitted documents, so I can remove that from each of these. So let me start. This application is a 4.16 acre parcel identified by the township's tax map as block 701, lot 25.01. The site falls within the R7.5 zone, which is designated as a single family residential zone. As previously indicated, the construction landscape business is not a permitted use in this zone. Therefore, a use variance is being requested from the board tonight. North is straight up on my two documents that I will be presenting tonight. The site is bound by New Brunswick Avenue to the east. Directly on the easterly side of that roadway is the Live Oak landscape business. We have Bound Brook to the north, existing wooded area to the west, and then the Conrail Railroad to the south. Directly south of that is the existing Quick Check and Harris Steel. The site is partially developed. As noted previously, there's an existing two-story, what appears to be a single family home, was at one point, was then later converted to an office space. This structure is approximately 162 feet off of the right-of-way of New Brunswick Avenue. There are two driveways that provide access to and from the site off of New Brunswick Avenue. They are paved driveway along the northerly, westerly, and southerly side of the structure. Then there is an existing chain link fence that separates the front and rear of the property. Where those two driveways end at the fence, the rear portion of the site is no longer paved. It's a compacted gravel area. Two accessory structures in the rear. There is a one-story, 3,456 square foot masonry block garage. It has a garage door on the westerly side and the southeast side. Directly to the south of that is a 475 square foot shed slash building that is utilized for additional storage. Primarily wooded along the southerly property line and the northerly property line along Bound Brook. At the northwest corner is the area where some of the building materials are kept within a 8 foot high barrier walls that was previously indicated by the applicant, including sand, stone, etc. that is utilized.
Sand, snow, and what was the third thing you said?
I'm sorry, sand and stone.
Thank you.
At the southwest corner of the property, there are currently 7 containers ranging in sizes from 8 foot wide by 20 feet long up to 8 feet wide by 45 feet long. There's a covered roofed area that has some additional storage and then the temporary tank that was previously testified to. My second plan, which is, I will remove the A2 note from the top, is entitled Engineering Site Plan. It's actually sheet 3 of the submitted engineering documents, which shows basically what the applicant is proposing for this particular application. Starting from New Brunswick Avenue, they are going to shift the northerly driveway slightly off of the northerly property line, make that a full 15 foot wide paved driveway as that wraps around the rear of the structure. And then along the southerly side, most of that existing driveway is going to remain. We're just going to kind of formalize it to make it a standard 12 foot wide driveway. It's a little undersized today. And while they do have 2 parking stalls just at the southwest corner of their office building, we are going to formalize that with 4 separate parking stalls. They're a little oversized than a standard parking stall. Standard parking stalls are 9 by 18. We're making these 22 feet deep. A lot of people that come into the office, some of the coworkers, you have a long pickup truck, et cetera. So we gave them a little bit more depth on those parking stalls. We're going to replace the existing chain link fence and run a new fence basically from the corner of the garage straight down perpendicular to the northerly and southerly property lines. There will be 2 gates installed that will provide security and separation between the front and rear yards. Again, we've basically formalized some additional parking in the rear. Instead of having some of the employees just kind of park all over in the rear section, we formalized some parking stalls in the rear for them to park to keep it kind of organized and a little safer. The rear portion is going to remain as gravel as it does today. The storage area at the northwest is going to remain as it is today. And at the southwest corner, they are cleaning up this area and kind of organizing it a little better. We are eliminating one of the smaller containers. And they're all going to be lined up, singly stacked. They're not going to be double stacked on top of each other, with the temporary tank being located at that location as well. In addition to these improvements, we are proposing landscaping along the chain link fence and along the northerly property line. Based on the recommendations made by Mr. Hinterstein, we will utilize different species than what was indicated on the landscaping plan, additional species. Our thoughts were maybe some Norway spruces along this fence, which will help provide some additional buffering to show the separation between the front and rear of the property. There's also a 9-square-foot sign that is nothing more than the identification and the address of the property, located about 2.5 feet off of the right-of-way of New Brunswick Avenue. The variances were already previously listed by the applicant's attorney, so I will not reiterate those. The applicant's planner is going to go through each of those for justifications. Again, most of those being existing nonconformities. The outside agency approvals that we will require for this application is a Middlesex County Planning Board, because we are on a county road. I do not believe we require a soil erosion permit, because I believe we're under 5,000 square feet of disturbance, but if we are, we will certainly file one with Mr. Hinterstein's office. And lastly, because the property falls either within the floodway or floodplain of Bound Brook, an NJDEP flood hazard area individual permit will be required for any improvements on the site. Lastly, the applicant has had the opportunity with myself to review the June 21st, 2023 memo for Mr. John Chadwick and the July 12th, 2023 review memo from Mr. Hinterstein. And the applicant is willing to agree with all comments, with the exception of one and another one that I just wanted to kind of briefly discuss that was brought up previously. Comment one of Mr. Hinterstein's report notes about EV parking stalls. Based on our review of the state requirement, if you are proposing under 25 parking stalls, an EV parking stall is not required. I believe that it is this particular application exempt from that requirement. And then item two, regarding the dedication, we went out there and kind of measured where the center line was, and it's about a 20-foot dedication that we're going to have to propose here. And I would like to ask if the board would be willing to grant a 20-foot wide roadway easement over an actual dedication. And the reason I ask that is if a dedication is required, the sign right now is about 15 feet off of the road, off the curb. Add 20 feet to that, that little 9-square-foot sign is now going to be 35 feet off of the road. If it's a 20-foot easement, the sign can remain where it is. We're obviously asking for an existing nonconforming variance for it, but it can remain where it is. And it's, in my opinion, a little better for safety. It helps identify the project location just due to the setback of the house. You can't see the numbers. They're a little difficult to see on the building itself. That sign really does help identify the address for the property. That concludes my testimony.
Any other members of the board have any questions for Mr. Allman? Could you take the screen?
Yeah, I just had something.
Mr. Thank you. Please, Henry, proceed.
Mr. Greg, on the easement for the roadway, I don't see any issue with taking that right of way in the form of an easement, but because you're on a county road, you are going to be required to get Middlesex County approval, and they may feel otherwise.
Okay.
So as long as they're in agreement with that, and they concur with our feeling that it could be a, an easement for that purpose, I don't see any reason. Then you can move forward just in case with the variance, assuming that it's going to be taken as an easement. The only problem would be is if the county came back and said, no, it has to be like a fee simple dedication, that would, cause a problem, because then obviously your sign would be in the right of way, which we wouldn't typically allow. But perhaps in this particular case, since the roadway is such a distance away from the future right of way line, we could perhaps, and Mr. Keneally, you may be better, depending on how the easement or that taking for the roadway is done, could be either a easement in the right of way for the signage, even though that's not typical. I think in this case, it probably could be looked on favorably because it's such a small identification sign.
Yeah, if it ends up being, if the county ends up requiring the dedication, if the applicant may have to come back for a site plan issue for the location of the sign because it can't go in the right of way or in the that area.
Could we make it a condition of the approval that if the county does require a dedication, that the applicant would adjust the sign and put it right at the property line, like a 0 foot or 6 inch setback off of the property line, which would technically be a variance, but they would be willing, instead of having to have them come back.
Henry, would you be concerned at all with the possible location of that?
No, because you'd be moving it back at that point 20 feet from its current location, if not further. So really almost 22 feet or 22 and a half feet. So I don't see it really being an issue. It would be able to go right up to that property line.
So if dedication is required, then the approval would be amended to permit a sign 1 foot behind the property line.
Sounds reasonable.
Any other questions, Henry?
Greg, my only question is you did say that you haven't received any DEP approvals, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's my biggest concern is that, again, this is the Bound Brook. There's a riparian buffer required for the brook. There's, some floodplain issues that could arise when this goes to their review. I don't know if there's any wetlands in the area. So I think those things, may impact the design down the line. So I just don't know how far we want to, you guys want to go through with everything, but you understand that if the DEP makes you modify the plan, that you'll be back here to modify may have to modify your variances as well as all your testimony on the changes.
Well, do we still want to take, Mr. Swanick, you have a planner there you're going to present to us, correct? You're muted, sir. Counselor, you're muted.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
With the NJDEP, and it was a chicken or egg situation, so we thought it best to come here first.
Let's take the testimony from your whole presentation tonight, and then we can hold off until the approval comes.
Okay, all right. So the next individual I'd like to have testify is Colleen McGurk, our professional planner.
Ms. McGurk, are you present?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening. Could you raise your right hand? Where the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
I do.
Spell your last name for us.
McGurk, McGurk.
Thank you.
Ms. McGurk, can you just let the board know what your qualifications are as a professional planner?
Yes, thank you. I'm a managing partner at Swick, Stahl, and McGurk Planning Associates, LLC. I obtained my planning degree from Boston University. My license is current in New Jersey, and I am a member of AICP. I have provided testimony before multiple townships, including Piscataway, Edison, Bedminster,
Ms. New McGurk, Brunswick, Midbridge, etc. Your credentials are more than adequate.
Thank you. Okay, again, I'm going to let you give your analysis of the property, and then I'll ask any questions I think I need to ask you.
Okay, thank you. So in preparation for this testimony, I reviewed the Land Development Ordinance, the 2005 Master Plan, and the 2020 re-exam, the application and plans, viewed aerial photos on historicaerials.com, and looked at the photos provided to me by the applicant. The photos I viewed go back to 1950s on historic aerials. I did an on-site inspection and I looked at the memos provided by the township professionals. So the subject property, known as Block 701, Lot 25.01, contains 4.16 acres and is located within the R7.5 residential zoning district. The lot contains 6 portable storage containers, 1 temporary fuel tank, a large block garage, a small frame building, a 2.5-story dwelling, which is being utilized as an office, and an area with 6 bin blocks for outdoor storage of materials. The applicant is proposing to continue the existing landscaping and construction business. The area is a mix of residential, commercial, and industrial uses. Directly north is Bound Brook. Past the brook are single-family residential dwellings, and to the south is Conrail Railroad shipping line. A large industrial building and a Quick Check and Harris Steel is further to the south, as are additional industrial and retail uses. To the west is Columbus Park, and to the east, which is the border of the township of South Plainfield, is a property owned by Live Oak Holding, a landscape contracting business. The property contains a 1-story masonry building, 2 small sheds, and a parking lot for equipment, trucks, and cars. Also to the east is Holy Redeemer Cemetery. So as you can see, the area is diverse and the impacts on the area from this existing business are minimal. Visually, there is little impact since the office, which is 160.96 feet from the roadway, is mainly what can be seen from New Brunswick Avenue. Tonight's testimony, I heard that they're changing up the landscaping a little bit to make it less of a monoculture, but they were originally proposing 15 Leland cypress trees with a planting height of 6 to 7 feet and a mature height of 60 feet and 46 Eastern red cedar with planting height of 6 to 7 feet and mature height of 25 feet. Once the plantings have matured, they will provide a substantial buffer. There's also an existing wooded area along the southern property line, which provides a substantial buffer ranging from a minimum of 30 feet up to 90 feet from the property line. A D1 use variance is required for this existing business, as well as several bulk variances. The site is particularly suited for the existing use because the historical use of this property has been commercial, and the previous use, a garbage disposal company, was likely even a more intense use. This property has changed over the years, but has been utilized for the existing landscaping and construction business since at least 2011. Prior to 2011, it was occupied by a garbage disposal business known as BACD LLC in 2004. And prior to that, it was known as Brian A. Colbath Disposal, going back many decades. According to the historic aerials, it looks like a commercial use dates back as far as 1963 and potentially prior. The current business is a low intense commercial use accessory to the existing single family dwelling, which is being utilized as an office for the business. The surrounding area consists of uses that would not be negatively impacted by this commercial use. The active rail line directly to the south and Bound Brook directly to the north create a substantial degree of separation to the surrounding properties. This lot is also particularly suited for this business since it is a long, deep lot and the storage of the equipment is mainly hidden from the roadway. The converted residential dwelling and a nicely landscaped front yard is what is mainly seen from the roadway, New Brunswick Avenue. The permitted use of a single family dwelling would be an inappropriate use due to the adjacent active railway and the FEMA designation of an AE flood zone with potential flooding from Bound Brook. The property is additionally constrained by DEP regulation due to almost the entirety of the property laying within the floodway of Bound Brook, which would not allow for more new structures to be built. Therefore, the storage of vehicles and equipment is an ideal use for this property. The 2005 master plan and the 2020 re-exam both show the property in the R.57 zone with a recommended change to park and recreation. The 2020 master plan also reaffirms one of its goals and objectives from the 2005 master plan, which is to preserve the character and quality of residential neighborhoods while providing the opportunity for redevelopment and preservation where desirable and possible. This dwelling was built in 1847, so the preservation of this structure has value, as does the service that this business provides to the township. The relief that is required for a D1 variance must satisfy what is known as the Medici criteria. There are 3 ways to do this. The main point, though, is that the general welfare would be served because the existing use is particularly suited to the proposed, or in this case, the existing use. There are similar uses and also more intense industrial uses and retail uses in this area. The lot is bordered again by the railway and Bound Brook. The majority of the property is undevelopable due to its floodway classification, So no structures or very limited structures could be built on this property. This is an existing use that is operated without any negative impact on the area for decades. The applicant has shown that they are willing to make improvements to the property, and the applicant still has property rights even as a non-conforming use. In order to justify the variances requested, bulk relief can be granted based upon a C1 and C2 analysis. The C1 analysis deals with hardships related to the property, the physical aspects of the site. The C2 is a weighing test. Do the benefits outweigh the detriments? The proposed bulk relief can be granted based upon both. C1 hardship, since the property is located adjacent to Bound Brook, which restricts any further development of the lot. A C2 analysis can be applied since the proposed variances advance the purposes of the MLUL, and the benefits of granting those variances outweigh any detriment that may result from their approval. The existing storage units, signage, and parking area and the bin should be allowed to continue since there are no known negative impacts to the surrounding area. The lot has been functioning well with this type of use for 60 years or more. The lot in its current condition is similar to surrounding uses, in particular, the landscaping business on the eastern side of New Brunswick Avenue. And it fits in with the character of the neighborhood since it has been a part of the neighborhood for decades. With regard to the portable storage units, there are 6 existing units and 1 temporary fuel tank, whereas 1 is permitted. This is an existing condition. The business has operated at this property for many years and requires an area for storage, but permanent structures, which the applicant was willing to provide, are not permitted in the floodway. Portable storage units provide a better visual aesthetic than simply storing the equipment outdoors. The applicant is proposing to relocate the units further from the rear yard property line, which is adjacent to Columbus Park. The units are currently 8 feet from the property line and 45 feet from the southern property line, and are now proposed to be 92 feet from the rear yard property line and 30 feet from the southern property line, which is adjacent to the Conrail property. And the landscaping in the wooded area will help with this also. With regards to the signage, you're allowed 2 square feet, whereas the existing sign is 9 square feet. It is a small, attractive, unlit sign and containing only the address, no mention of the business name. The applicant is seeking to get an easement to keep the sign in its current location within the right-of-way. With regards to the bin wall height, 8.5 feet is existing, whereas 6 feet is permitted. The justification for this variance is that the bins are existing and have been in this location, this size and height for decades without any negative known impacts. The bins cannot be seen from an adjacent property or from New Brunswick Avenue. The bins help organize and properly contain the materials utilized by the business. A paved parking lot is required and is proposed for the employee parking. The applicant has proposed to remove portions of the asphalt driveway and replace them with gravel, where the landscaping, construction vehicles, and equipment will be parked, and has proposed a paved parking area for the employees with a total of 4 stalls. The existing northern driveway from New Brunswick Avenue is only a few feet from the property line, but will be shifted to be 10 feet from the property line and will be expanded to be the required minimum 15-foot width. The applicant has also proposed landscaping along the front and northern side and a portion of the rear perimeter of the property, which will create significant screening of the 8 stalls located on the gravel parking area for the landscape vehicles. The existing fences are to be removed and a new 6-foot chain link fence is proposed. All of these improvements will make the property function better and improve its appearance while bringing it into conformance with the current ordinance requirements. The accessory structures, whereas a maximum of 25 by 25 is permitted, there are 2 existing structures. There is an existing large block garage measuring 23.8 feet by 143.9 feet and a small frame building measuring 18.3 feet by 24.7 feet. The large block garage accessory building dates back to 1947 and the small frame building dates back to 1953. These structures help contain the equipment and materials from the construction business, which is preferred to outdoor storage. These structures predate the ordinance and have no known negative impacts. This application advances several purposes of the MLUL. Purpose A, to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. We know that the property is located in the 7.5 zoning district and contains a single family dwelling with an accessory landscaping and construction business. The existing use is consistent with the surrounding area The only changes proposed are for the various improvements to the parking area, the driveway, and the landscaping in order to mitigate the bulk variances, and no expansion of the current use is proposed. Purpose G, to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of agriculture, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses in open space, both public and private, according to their respective environmental requirements in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. This area contains a mix of residential, industrial, and commercial uses, and this business provides services to the local residents and is consistent with other uses in the area. Purpose M, to encourage coordination of the various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and to the more efficient use of the land. This use should be allowed to continue in its present state with the proposed buffering and circulation improvements. The existing business has a positive impact on the area by providing necessary services, and there are no known negative impacts. It is my professional opinion that the granting of the use variance and also the bulk variances will not result in a substantial detriment to the public good and will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the master plan or zone plan. This is an existing business. The building size and intensity of the use will remain the same, and the benefits of this business outweigh any detriments. And I did have a brief slide presentation, if I could.
Please share my screen.
Trying to share my screen.
Sorry.
Do I have permission to share the screen?
Yes, I gave it to you.
Sorry. No.
If this is a necessary visual aid, I'll be patient, but otherwise I do got to proceed. We have another case behind us.
It was just the aerials, which I believe were submitted. So the aerials show what was existing on the property dating back to the 50s.
Yeah, if it was already submitted, then the board has it back. So we're good, Colleen. Thank you.
Okay. That's all I have then.
Ms. McGurk, I just have a couple of really quick questions.
Sure.
Is it your opinion, and I think you've said this already, but I just want to reiterate, is it your opinion, based upon your testimony, that the general welfare is served because the use is particularly fitted to the location for which variance is sought?
Yes, it is. As stated earlier, it is a long, deep lot. The house is 160.96 feet from the front yard property line. Visually, nobody can see what's occurring at the rear of the property and behind the dwelling. And the existing use, as far as I know, has had no known negative impacts over the decades it's been there.
Okay, and the next question, in your opinion, can the variances sought be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan and the zoning ordinance?
It is.
Okay, thank you. That's any questions from the board?
Yeah, any members of the board have any questions for Ms. McGurk? None? Okay, well, Mrs. Swanick, that's the end of your presentation?
Yes.
Do you want to summarize anything? Or?
I think you've heard quite a bit. And
we have. I try to be courteous and make sure you're satisfied with your press.
You've heard enough. I say something, it might be stupid. So
we'll I appreciate that more than you know. At this point, we're not going to be voting on this for two reasons. Obviously, the DEP approval, and I'd like either myself and several members of the board to get out to the property to observe it. So, Mr. Keneally, how should I proceed at this point? Do we set him up with another date? Or
yeah, we should carry it to another date so that the applicant does not have to notice again.
Okay.
Board members can arrange with Mr. Swanick's office to make site visits, but you can't go as a quorum. You have to go less than
individual
people at a time.
Okay. Perfect. Laura, you've got Mr. Swanick's information for any member of the board to contact?
Yes, Chairman.
Perfect. Okay. What dates you have available? Well, how long do you think it'll take?
We already have 7 pages on in August.
Oh, jeez. It looks like you guys are going to be moved to September.
Yeah. Especially it's a youth, so Chadwick has to be here. So right. September
28th. Mr. Swan, okay. Is September 28th acceptable?
I don't have my book in front of me, but I'm sure it is.
So anybody here on the Weniger application is carried to September 28th with no further notice by the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Swanick.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to double back to Mr. DeFore. I understand he's on the phone now.
Yes. Okay. I just asked him to unmute.
Let me formally get this, though. Item number 12, 23-ZB-63V, Mark DeFore.
Mr. DeFore, are you present?
Yes, I am.
I need to swear you in. Raise your right hand. You swear that the testimony you're about to give.
We couldn't hear you, Jim. You
hey, Jim. Your mic is
going
down.
You swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth.
Yes.
Okay, your name and address, please.
Mark DeFore, DuFour, 442 New Market Road.
Thank you. Mr. DeFore, could you explain to the board why you're here?
Okay. Well, I purchased this house 5 months ago, and there was issues with the house. So when I went to the previous owner, had gotten a permit for a deck in the back, and then he put a roof on with no permit. So I bought the house with this issue, being that I'm going to try to get this rectified. Because he has now that floating floor in there and the roof over it. And if I was to take the roof off, everything would just be totally ruined. So I'm looking to see if we can keep the roof on. I applied for the permit, and then they told me I had to get a variance. Structurally, you know, I've been in the business for many years, and structurally, it looks decent. The guy who did a very nice job. That's one issue. Another, because I have a bulk variance here. Another issue is the fence. Somebody sent me something stating that there was no permit for the fence, but in 2016, a permit was taken out, inspected by code enforcement, and approved. That was Michael Stein. Back in 2016. And then also there was a shed on the property.
Mr. Stein didn't work here in 2015.
2016. Well, that's 2016. That's what this paper says. I don't know. This is from M. Stein at PiscataWayNJ.org. This is a piece of paper the next door neighbor had given to me because. But the fence, according to this, there was a permit taken out and inspected by the code officer and approved. I'm just, you know, reading what I have in front of me.
Jim, should we have that produced to us before?
Yes, the applicant should provide that to the board.
Right. So
okay,
let's address the other issues, but we won't be approving this application tonight until we have proof of that paperwork that you said was submitted back in 2016.
Okay.
Well, we can address other issues on the site impact if you'd like.
Yes.
Okay, do you want us to do it on our end? I understand, yes. Just ready, okay. Henry, could you go over this with Mr. DeFore?
Yeah, I mean, he's saying that permits were issued. Obviously, permits were not issued, or if permits were issued, they were disregarded, and then the deck was built larger than what the permit would have showed. Irregardless, it's the deck was built or legally built or disregarded the permit. It was built larger than was allowed. If there was a variance, we'd have a record of it. So there was no variance, which means that there was no permit taken out for the deck. So again, somebody did this without permits, and you know, maybe you bought the property like this, but again, it doesn't absolve the fact that somebody went and did this illegally. And now basically what you're doing is you're asking for forgiveness for what somebody else did. And I understand you may be put in a sort of, you know, a tough spot, but it's sort of buyer beware. You know, if everybody just did what they wanted, the problem is the zoning's there for a reason. So again, you need to justify leaving. Please let me finish. You have to justify leaving or justify variances by either a hardship or other criteria. There's a bunch of variances for this property. So there's one variance is required for the shed or accessory structure. I don't see a big issue with that, even though it's 2.5 feet from the property line, due to the fact that there is a solid fence and it's adjacent to the neighbor's shed garage. So I think the board can look favorably upon leaving the shed where it is. As far as the fence, there was a little bit of talk about that. Although there is a variance required for the fence, regardless of whether or not a permit was taken out, the fence is very close to the front yard setback line, I believe. I think the house is slightly over the required setback. So I don't see, you know, I think the house is 22.34 from, you know, the actual house is in a little bit from the required setback. So again, the fence variance is minimal at best. I don't see any issue, and I think it lines up with the front of the house, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Dufour.
Yes.
So again, don't really see an issue whether there was a permit taken out or not. The variance is requested, and I think that we can approve the variance for this location since it's a minimal deviation from the requirement and it matches up with the existing house. The biggest issue here is the deck. The deck and the cover, it was, again, it was built without a permit. If a permit was taken, this would never have been allowed to be built that close to the side property line when there's that much other property around the house. And it definitely wouldn't have been allowed to be enclosed with a roof. So I'm not even too concerned with the deck itself. I'm more concerned with the roof structure above, because that has more of, a negative impact to the neighboring properties. So again, I don't have an issue per se with the deck. It deviates 2 feet from the side yard setback, but I think that the overhead structure needs to be modified so that it complies with the setback requirement. Again, you know, this isn't, you know, disregard the ordinance and come into the board and ask for forgiveness. If you want to do something that deviates from the zoning ordinance, the proper format is you request the variance, and then if you get the variance, you do the work. You don't do it in the opposite manner and then try to get things by. If that was the case, then, you know, we'd have chaos here in the town. So again, my recommendation is that most of these variances could be looked upon favorably. My biggest issue is the cover portion of the deck. I just think it should be modified and comply with the setback. I don't see any hardship because it was self-created hardship. And, you know, that's my opinion. And along with that, the deck and the modified roof, if the roof is to remain, would need to be permitted through the building department. They would need to inspect the structure and confirm that it was built appropriately and approved by them.
What is the setback for the roof off the property line?
8 feet.
8 feet. So if I, like, if 8 feet off the fence,
8 feet off the property line.
Okay.
You need to determine where the property line is.
Cut the roof back so it accommodates 8 feet.
The entire overhead structure has to be at least 8 feet from the side property line.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll cut it off. I'll just cut it off. Oh. That's all.
That's fine.
So, Henry, so now, how do I How do I go about this? I got to go apply for a permit?
Yeah, you would need the resolution once we, if the board looks upon this favorably based on your willingness to modify your application, you'll get a resolution. Then you would need to prepare a plan for what you're going to do to modify that roof. You're going to have to probably show them how it was constructed and how you're going to modify it. Same with the deck, and apply for the permits for both the deck and the overhead structure so that it could be inspected and given a rubber, a stamp of approval by them, so that we know it was built in accordance with the Uniform Construction Code.
Okay, very good.
So, Henry, in your opinion, we don't need to have the physical permit for the fence?
No, because, again, although it's in the front yard, the house is actually at that same location, if not a little bit further up than the fence. So, I mean, I think it makes logical sense here. I think the fence is at like 22, 23 feet versus 25.
Got it.
So I think you could use the front setback of the house, which is 22 point. Let me get that for you, Jim. 22.34, that would be the variance for the fence. And so the fence could be located even with the front of the house or further back.
Got it. Okay. That's all agreeable, Mr. DeFore, correct?
Yes.
The shed's going to stay where it is, the fence is okay, and you're going to modify the roof to code?
Yes, no problem.
Okay. Okay, any other members of the board have any questions for this applicant? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public have any questions about this application?
No one, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. And with the modifications made by Mr. DeFore or agreed to upon by Mr. DeFore, I vote, I would like to approve this application.
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Tillery?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blount?
Yes.
Mr. Hidaka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. DeFore, you've been granted an approval. We will memorialize it in a document at our next meeting and send that document to you. You'll need that to get your permits.
And what about the MCO?
What about the what, sir?
My certificate of occupancy. Right now I have a temporary that ran out.
You need to call code enforcement, tell them you got approved, but you can't do anything to the resolution next month. So you have to work it out with code enforcement. Call Julie tomorrow.
Yeah, you could probably get an extension on that. So definitely give them a shout.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Good. DeFore, have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, let's go to item number 15. Adoption of resolutions of the regular meeting of June 22nd, 2023.
First resolution is Charlene Jones, which you voted to approve. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt? Mr. Hiduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mirando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Elizabeth Jorge, which you voted to approve. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Hiduka? Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Transcontinental Steel temporary use permit. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Hiduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is 33 Clausen owner temporary use permit. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Hiduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is NYSMSA Verizon. Mr. Weissman?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Hiduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Finally is Colgate Palmolive. Mr. Patel?
Yeah.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Blunt?
Yes.
Mr. Hiduka?
Yes.
Mr. Mirando?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Weissman?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions I have this evening.
Item number 16, adoption of minutes from the regular meeting of June 22nd, 2023. All in favor say aye.
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 And I vote on item number 17 to make it adjournment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, guys, I got worried when I saw Mitt Arando's black cat up on the screen for a second there.
That was cute.
This night is not going to go very well. Black cats aren't good. You guys are great. I love you. And enjoy what time you've got. When's it? August what? Is our next meeting?
10th. You have a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Make the most of it, guys. Go right. Enjoy.
Right. Okay. Stay safe.
Have a good night.
Night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye. Good night. Bye.